Thank you for into this session of Kosher Tidbits, which is part 4 on enzymes and biotechnology. In this session, we will continue where we left off in part 3 and continue discussing the kosher law issues concerning enzymes and biotechnology. Moving along, if you remember from part 2, they will then fill up a seed fermenter with ingredients, sterilize to kill off extraneous bacteria, cool down, and then inoculate the seed fermenter using the initial flask. They will then repeat the same process with the main fermenter and use the seed fermenter to inoculate the main fermenter. At this point, the equipment issues are the same as in any OU-certified plant, and that equipment used must be an exclusive kosher parv or kosher dairy status. Should the company needs use the equipment for a product containing non-kosher ingredients or in a parv plant dairy ingredients, the equipment would require hagolah, kosherization, similar to any other kosher product. The same would, of course, apply to a product requiring a Pesach Passover status, where the equipment used unacceptable Pesach ingredients. One kosher issue that comes up in the fermentation industry, if you are dealing with a plant situation of parv and dairy production, or kosher and non-kosher, is the issue of recirculating cooling water. After sterilization in a seed or main fermenter, they need to cool down the product prior to inoculation. Otherwise, they would kill off the microorganism that they wish to be operative in the fermentation media. They don't want to wait until it cools down naturally, as that could take 1 to 2 days. So they typically use a cooling water loop to get a much quicker cool down. Chilled water runs through a jacket that runs through the tank. A concern can exist that this cooling water is recirculating in a mixed plant situation. A mixed plant situation refers to a kosher non-kosher, or a dairy parv, or Pesach non-Pesach production situation. The first pass of the cooling water may go over the temperature of Yad Soledes. Yad Soledes is a Hebrew or Aramaic halachic formulation, and it literally means when the hand pulls away. As mentioned earlier, the threshold temperature for considering something hot is 120 degrees Fahrenheit or 45 degrees Celsius. This temperature is our Yad Soledes temperature, and should the cooling water be used for dairy parv or non-kosher kosher or Pesach non-Pesach, according to kosher law, we need to be concerned about cross-contamination from the non-kosher product through the jacket into the cooling water, which would then render it problematic to use the same recirculating cooling water for a kosher application. Of course, the same issues are applicable to dairy parv and non-Pesach-Pesach production situations. In some cases, it is not a concern, as even the first pass of cooling water doesn't get above the Yad Soledes temperature. In such a case, there is no cross-contamination concern through the cooling water jacket. Another reason why this may not be a concern is that very often the cooling water is so heavily treated with chemicals that it's completely inedible. Something that is completely inedible will not impart a non-kosher status, even if it absorbs non-kosher components. As a legacy of Legionnaire's disease, which is believed to have spread through bacteria that thrive in chilled water systems, it is common for companies to treat the chilled water with a heavy dose of chemicals in order to render it an inhospitable environment for these potentially deadly bacteria to live. After the main fermentation, it goes into recovery. Recovery is usually a process that doesn't involve heat. However, in mixed plant situations, there are equipment concerns, as oftentimes product will remain in the recovery vessels for longer than 24 hours. Under kosher law, common equipment is a concern, even at ambient temperatures, if product is stored in the tank for longer than 24 hours. The next steps are stabilization, preservation, and dilution. If the product needs to be spray dried, which is a high heat evaporation process, we need to ensure that the spray dryer used is in the right kosher status. Diluents need to be kosher controlled. Some common diluents which are kosher sensitive are glycerin, which could be manufactured from animal-derived sources, vegetable or synthetically, lactose, a dairy ingredient as a possible diluent, a powdered product, which of course is a concern with a parv product. Dextrose or sorbitol, while not really kosher sensitive for a regular kosher product, are issues in a Pesach product. I will now conclude with 3 halachic positions the OU follows, which are unique to the fermentation industry and, for the most part, are not relevant to any other industries. The first halachic position concerns lactose. Lactose is only considered chalavi, i.e. dairy, on a rabbinic level. That is, according to Torah law, lactose, which is milk sugar, would be considered parv. It is a rabbinic enactment to consider lactose as dairy. The Prima Gadim was one of the most prominent halachic decisors and one of the opinions that has historically has been considered in rendering halachic decisions discusses in Orach Chaim, Simon Reish Tez Zayin, 216, the issue of musk, which is derived from the blood of an animal. Blood is not kosher, of course. The Prima Gadim discusses the issue of using this ingredient and paskins, which means decides that due to the significant changes that take place in the processing of this ingredient, such as it no longer resembles the original blood, it would be permitted in any situation where it is only considered non-kosher meter abonin, under rabbinic enactment, in contrast to under Torah law. There are actually other opinions that are more lenient and permit a product with such change even in a situation where it is non-kosher based on Torah law. However, the traditional approach has been to follow the Prima Gadim and only permit an ingredient with such a change when it is only a violation of rabbinic kosher law. This opinion of the Prima Gadim is very relevant to the fermentation industry, as during the fermentation process, the ingredients are completely transformed from the original source and thus can be compared to the case of musk. Based on the above, we can allow the use of lactose, which is only milk on a rabbinic level, in fermentation media, and still have the resulting product certified as kosher parv. This is only applicable to lactose, which is only milk on a rabbinic level, but not to components of milk that are considered dairy according to Torah law, such as milk itself, caseinate's whey, etc. The second halachic position concerns kidneys. As is well known, during the holiday of Passover, there are additional kosher requirements. It is not permitted to consume products manufactured from the five grains, wheat, barley, rye, oats, and spelt, with the exception of matzah, which is unleavened bread using these grains. Ashkenazic Jews, that is Jews of European origin, have an additional custom that they have taken on, and they do not consume products containing kidneys, which means legumes. This covers ingredients such as rice, millet, soybeans, corn, as well as a few others. The reasons for this stringency are beyond the scope of this kosher tidbit session. However, these ingredients, which are called kidneys, are not consumed based on an accepted custom. While it is an obligation to follow an accepted custom, the OU position has been that it doesn't have a greater stringency than a rabbinic enactment. If anything, and as it was not a formal rabbinic enactment, but rather an accepted custom, it is even of a more lenient status than a formal rabbinic enactment. Based on this logic, the OU position has been to permit the use of kidneys-based ingredients in fermentation stage, in which the resulting product is certified as kosher for Pesach, based on the prior-mentioned opinion of the Prima Gadim. This affects a number of popular fermentation products, such as aspartame used in diet sodas, as well as monosodium glutamate, among others. The third halachic position involves dairy ingredients at low percentages. As we have discussed, the fermentation process affects significant changes in the original ingredients. Based on this logic, it could be possible to consider using any dairy ingredients in a fermentation product and certifying the resulting product as parv, as there is no taste of dairy in the fermentation broth after the process is complete. Even if the resulting product would be used together with meat, it should not present a concern, as the Torah only forbids the consumption of milk and meat cooked together in a method where the taste of milk and meat are being mixed together. With an ingredient like this, it should not really be a concern, as all dairy taste has been removed. Despite this reasoning, the OU does not allow the use of dairy ingredients in a fermentation broth where the resulting product is parv, except for lactose, as discussed earlier. However, the OU does allow the use of dairy ingredients at bittul proportions, that is where the dairy ingredients is less than 1/60th of the volume in a fermentation. This is for the reason we just explained, as well as the fact that if something is nullified to less than 1/60th, it does not present a kosher issue unless it falls into the category of the Dover HaMaimed, which is a catalyst, as discussed in Part 1 of Kosher Tidbits on Enzymes. As we are discussing a dairy ingredient which is kosher, it would not fall into the category of Dover HaMaimed. The rule of Dover HaMaimed only concerns ingredients that are non-kosher. While there is a general prohibition against doing deliberate nullification, that is not applicable here, as that would only concern a non-kosher ingredient, but not a dairy ingredient. In general, the OU does not allow even the use of a kosher dairy ingredient at below nullification levels for a kosher parv product. However, in this case, the OU position has been to allow this for the prior mentioned reasons. This concludes this session of Kosher Tidbits, which is Part 4 on Enzymes and Biotechnology. Thank you for tuning in to this session of Kosher Tidbits.